And we have Reverend King with us from Grow Monroe, Monroe Community College. This is one of the key times of the year for you because the farmers of Monroe County have hopefully bumper crops of some things they've struggled with this season, but people need to realize just how much we grow in Monroe County.
Well, it's been a season of extremes this year, especially from Monroe County and Western New York. Not just in New York, but also across the nation. We've had a lot of just real wicked weather patterns. For Western New York, predominantly we had a lot of rain during spring, which delayed planting significantly for almost all crops. All commodities have been impacted, which also impacts animal agriculture as well.
Well, we're talking to one farmer at the public market, Seven Bridges Farm, and in May he said, you know, if I can't get the corn in by, you know, the end of May, I'm in trouble. And I went to see him that week, and he couldn't get it in because it was still raining and still wet. If I can't get it in by the 1st of June, it starts to get too late to plant some of these things.
Well, in fact, I had the opportunity just to play golf with that farmer, and he had some real issues with his corn crop because with a lot of the drought situation that we had that was predominant throughout Western New York, it causes for a lot of metabolism problems, a lot of plant physiology issues. So even though that you may have the fertilizer, even though that the pH might be right in the soil, that drought creates nitrogen deficiencies, phosphorus deficiencies. We had some real extreme heat that caused some big pollination issues for almost all crops, particularly field corn. And for field corn, we have what we call barren stalk syndrome. And that's just not, regardless whether it was a hybrid or a genetically engineered or open pollinated type crop, when you had those high temperatures, the type of varieties that we plant here typically for upstate, they don't do well in extreme heat. So there's literally a lot of plants, a lot of corn plants, that if you walk into the field, there is no ear. Even though it has a tassel, there might be a little bit of silking going on, there is no ear, period, at all. And a lot of companies are frustrated about that, trying to explore that. They think maybe some of the varieties that they've used to adapt here, maybe they got to start looking at varieties more down in Georgia or down south or out west and see how they can adapt those varieties for our areas to avoid these type situations. We always talk about plants being drought tolerant, which means that they can do well in lack of moisture type situations. But we haven't really experienced a situation where we've had high heat that really severely adversely impacted pollination for almost all commodities.
And wind, too. The wind just sucks the moisture away. And we didn't have any cloudy days for 2 months. Not just rain, but just cloudy day, a break from the intense sun. And yet, you know, a couple months earlier in May, I was talking with Herd Orchards. They had to bring in bumblebee hives in May because the honeybees didn't like the cold weather and the rain, and they weren't pollinating, and the trees were blooming, so they had to bring in bumblebees of all things.
Yeah, with the rain that we got inundated with in May, most pollinators don't like to work when it's raining, particularly bees. One of the big things that I think that people need to be aware of is that this drought will continue through 2012 and 2013. And what I mean by that is the impact. And when we get these severe bouts of drought stress, we get a lot of insect pressures. A lot of the predators that would normally go after the insect pests don't have a chance. A lot of types of boar, as you well know, and some of the trees. In fact, trees, a lot of people say, well, do plants talk? Well, they do, especially during drought stress, because they basically start falling, you know, the mechanisms that are used to transport water, they start to collapse, and when they collapse, they make noise, ultrasonic-type noises, which attracts, you know, these types of boars that wind up feeding on certain types of trees, and that creates additional insect pressure for next year and the year after. So the other thing, too, that we're looking at is significant price increases. We expected at least a 5 to 7% price increase at the beginning of the year, and that had to do with energy and fertilizer costs. What we're hearing now is that we're looking at an additional 7 to 10% during harvest because for a lot of farm operations, some are a little bit more variable than others, but overall, we're looking at anywhere between 30 to 50% loss across the boards on almost all commodities. And that's either because it was too wet or it was too dry, too hot. And then, of course, we had a bout of rain in August that really just pummeled and created. We had a lot of hail and wind damage, as you well know. And so it's been a real wicked season of extremes. For most farmers that I've talked to, they've been farming anywhere from 50 to 60 years. They've never seen anything like it or recall anything like it. So,
what does a small firm do? There is some government help at various times, but you know that there's a lot of paperwork involved, and you know for a small firm, are they able to take advantage of that, or what are their options?
Well, I think their options is for people to buy local and support these small farms, because that's not to say that there isn't good product out there. There is. There's good quality product out there. It may not be the size that you've been accustomed to in the last couple of years, but we still have some really good quality product out there. There's still zucchini, and there's tomatoes, and there's lettuce, and there's peaches, and there's apples. So what we tell folks is the best way that you can help these small farms operations is to buy from them. And that way they're able to realize their profitability, their margins. They know that people are there for them so they can plan for next year. As they say, farmers are eternal optimists. They'll be looking forward to next year. And even that we've had a lot of folks over the last couple of years that have been trying times, both commodity price-wise as well as been transitions in just the agricultural economy, because a lot of things have changed. And now we got the Food Modernization Act that's coming on, which is going to impact farm operations. I'm really impressed with upstate farmers, whether they're conventional, or organic, or natural. They're very resilient, they very innovative, and they adjust. So I anticipate that even though this is going to be a wicked year, I know there's some people that they're going to be able to get through it, even with a half a crop, particularly if local folks patronize them and buy their product. That's the key.
It seems like the growth of local farmers markets has helped a lot of those small, mid-sized farms sell direct to consumers rather than relying on commodities. There's farm markets wherever you go in Monroe County and around surrounding counties.
Well, farm markets, not only are they an avenue or an outlet for folks to be able to buy locally and support their neighbor, but it's also a cultural gathering and brings us back to back to our roots as far as agrarian society. And we get out there and meet our friends and meet our neighbors. We meet the folks that, that produce. We talk about the eaters and the producers. It's just farmers markets right now. I think we're really heading to our peak. I still think we've got a lot to go. I still think that there's enough farmers to go around to support farm markets. And I encourage people to look at the diversity of farm markets. GrowMonroe.org. We have a listing of all the farmers markets in Monroe County. And we also have a listing of a lot of private farm markets and farm stands, as well as special events, community events that people can participate in, and all the points of contact, the types of products. Some folks got websites so you can get updates as to what's available are there. It doesn't exclude neighboring product. What I mean by neighboring product is other counties. We certainly embrace neighboring counties. They produce good product. A lot of those same farm markets and stands will have product from out of the area. The bigger thing is that we encourage people to identify what's local, and what we mean by local is what's in your back door, particularly for Monroe County. It's just have an idea where your food's coming from and who's handling it. At the same time, you can actually influence the nature and type of food that you want, because you can have those conversations with those farmers and those hucksters about what it is that you truly enjoy about a particular product.
They may have some good recipes, too, or ideas on preserving it. And this time of the year, you can buy in quantity from local farmers. You can freeze it, you can preserve it in a whole lot of different ways so that you have it for the winter when the peaches don't taste the same and the strawberries there are late season strawberries now, but stuff that comes from around the world doesn't taste the way it does right now, and you can freeze that. And I prefer freezing in general. I'll be freezing corn and peaches and blueberries, etc.
Well, that's a great point, and I think a lot of people forget in our area here, we basically got about a 120-day growing season. We work a lot on seasonality, and people always ask me, well, shouldn't it be less expensive than when I'm going to the store? Well, not necessarily, but the trick about buying local is to identify seasonality, when a product not just when it's coming in, but when it's really abundant. And the other thing is how to stretch that season. We have a lot of farmers that are working on controlled climate structures, working with different varieties to help extend that season, you know, make it a, turn it from 120-day into 160-day season if we can do that. But as you mentioned, you know, a return back to storage and canning, you know, if there's product and certain types of varieties that you really enjoy, Cornell Cooperative Extension, they have preserving classes. There's all kinds of recipes out there that you can use, not just to, you know, make for that day, but also you can pack it and freeze it and bring it out, you know, a couple months later. And that's not to say that the folks, and I really don't want to beat on the growers out west or down south or whatever, they're doing a great job with product. But when you're shipping product, you got to pick it a little early so you're not picking it at optimal flavor and maturity like we do here in Western New York, and that's our advantage.
Well, it is, again, an ideal year to support your local farmers. They could use it after Mother Nature throwing a lot of different punches at them. And that's one of the neat things about those farmers markets is you can meet the farmers in person. And their whole families in some cases. The public market, there's 3-4 generations working the same booth. And really get a sense for that why it's so important to have local farms and not rely only on stuff coming from mega farms a long ways away.
Oh, absolutely. And in fact, some of these local farm operations, they also have some national ties as well. So we really get a, pardon the pun, we really get a great flavor when it comes to agricultural commodities here. And I would encourage folks, if you know, this is also a great time to grow your own. So if you go to the growmonroe.org website, you can actually find we have a recent publication that we just put out that's free. It's in a PDF-type format. If you want a published copy, I have some here today. It come out to the festival here at 249 Highland Avenue. So you learn how to grow your own. And it's basically a budgeting. It talks about seed varieties, placement. It's never too late to learn. We also have an introduction to greenhouse management that we're offering as a late start at Monroe Community College. It's a 2-credit course that will be offered starting mid-October through November. It's the A to Z's of how to grow your own. A lot of the
that for consumers or people in the industry or both?
It's for both. It's really meant as a basic introductory course to things like lighting, irrigation, climate control, variety selection, fertility, how to make your own soils, to really prepare you and get you set to run on your own, whether you want to grow your own product or whether you want some background in order to go work for somebody in agribusiness or the food-related industry. And that's something else that I think is important, that we have a significant food-related business here. We have people like Ledestri, Barilla. We have some other big companies that are moving into the area that will be established, particularly like Genesee County. So this is it's a great place to be. Sometimes we scratch our heads during the winter as to why we're here. Unless you're skiing, you really enjoy snow. But those seasonal variations and changes really make for an ideal situation for a lot of things that we grow here.
They do. So people can say hello to you and also pick up some literature on Grow Monroe here at the Locavore Fair. Thanks, Robert.
Thanks for having me, Michael, and I appreciate the work you do and look forward to working with you again.
Thanks. It's Robert King. You can know growmonroe.org on the web.